Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
The study of Ezra chapter 10, look at some of the condition. First, if there will be a revival and a restoration and hope brought to the surface, there must be a burden in prayer about the needs of the people of God. Look at verse 1. Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men, women, and children, for the people wept very sore. We find immediately that prayer is necessary. In Hebrew we call it tefillah, lehitpalel. To pray means that I am speaking with the living God. That I am telling him my situation. That I am sharing with him my heart. In your personal life, how is your prayer life? How do you and I spend time during the week in prayer? Do we take the time and simply go on our knees before the Lord and just ask him to help us, and you share with him our challenges, our problems, our family needs, our jobs, our finances, all the things that are ahead of us? Well, Ezra, we find out the first thing that he does, he's praying. But you notice, beloved brothers and sisters, that when he prayed individually, somehow others were led to do the same. If you and I don't pray on our own, how do we expect others to learn from that and do the same? We individually should be praying to spend time in speaking with the Lord. So Ezra is praying. It is a sincere prayer. You know, it's weeping and casting himself down before the house of God. You know, many years ago, I used to go to prayer meetings in Iago on the Lake, in our local assembly there. And I tell you, it really moved my heart. When some of the brethren were praying, they were weeping. They were not only saying things. They were broken before the Lord about the needs, the conditions that existed, and problems that they all, maybe some of them had more than others. But they were praying, they were crying before the Lord. It was sincere weeping before the Lord. Lord, we need your help. This is important. Even among our own Jewish people historically, here we see this brokenness before the Lord. The reality, oh God, we need your help. And you know, when we were going through prayer meeting, and if we were not right before the Lord, the prayer was just words, and it seems to not rise above the ceiling. And notice what it says, confessing and weeping and casting himself down before the house of God. Beit HaMikdash, Beit Elohim, there in the city of Jerusalem, and he was praying. And you know, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the shortest verse in the Bible, in John 11, we read Jesus wept. We never read one time Jesus laughed. But we read that Yeshua wept. Now he had a joy. He was a man of joy. But he wept because he saw our people Israel. He went to the funeral service of Eliezer. And we saw the condition of the people. He wept over our city. And you remember what we read in scripture? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, when Yeshua was approaching the city of Jerusalem, he says, oh, how long would I have gathered you as a hen gathered her chicks, but you would not. And he wept over the city. We need to weep over our failure and our sins. We cannot just brush it. We need to realize we failed the Lord. We have sinned against the Lord. And the Lord wants us to be sincere in our prayer. And if we will do so, God will exercise others to do so, because look at this, beloved brothers and sisters. It's not only Ezra, because it says in verse 1, they assembled unto him out of Israel a great congregation. Men, women, and children. Now you know what we learn from this? It's not only for the men that the men should exercise the prayer. Our wives, the women, need to pray as well. And you know, we are mentioning every Shabbat meeting, that at 12 o'clock or 12 something there is a prayer meeting, I challenge you, dear sisters, to take the time to pray for us, for the fellowship, for the meeting, to pray that the Lord will just help us. That it will be a time of blessing here when we gather together. The Lord will be honored. We will be all encouraged and have another week able to be charged and going to face the world that is before us. But it's not only the men, not only the women, but also the children. It's so beautiful to see. You know, it's so wonderful to see when the children praying for their parents, praying for their mom and dad, praying for the brothers and sisters. Take the time to pray and to say, God, I love my parents. I love my brothers and sisters. I love my elders. I want them to be blessed. Lord, help them. The Bible said the little ones that will cry to the Lord, God is always ready to hear the cry of His people. And it's so wonderful, brothers and sisters, to see that this has existed already at that time, in the time of Ezra. You know, I was thinking of a verse that is found in a song of Solomon, in Shir HaShirim, where we read in that song of Solomon, in chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "Draw me, and then we will run. Draw me first, and then we, plural, will run." In other words, if you're first going to do a work, God, do a work in me first, so I can be an influence to the others, and the others will follow after. Shaul Paul said, "Follow me as I follow the Lord Yeshua the Messiah." So we learn, beloved brothers and sisters, the first thing in order to revive the people of God, to restore the people of God, is necessary to spend time in prayer, in a sincere prayer for the people of God. And I want to say that we have a problem because we like to talk to men more than to talk to God. And you notice, you and I spend more time telling people what they need to do instead of telling God to help me what I need to do in order to live for Him and to follow after Him. Don't you feel it is the same like this in our life? We are always ready to tell somebody, but we are not as ready to talk to the Lord. And this is what we find in Ezra. Ezra gave us an example. He took the time to pray, to confess, to weep, to cast himself onto the ground before the temple of the house of God, and others did follow him from the nation of Israel, men, women, and children. And notice it says at the end of verse 1, "For the people wept very sore." So it was really contagious. When they saw Ezra praying, it moved their heart. And the Lord speak to them that they realized, oh Lord, it's not them, it's me. We all are the ones that need to pray. And they all began to pray. And it's so wonderful to see that in this passage. And beloved brothers and sisters, there are so many verses that we can read. It's important for us to pray. We are exhorted in Hebrews 4 and verse 16, "Let us therefore come to the throne of grace." In the presence of the Lord is a place where God can give us grace and help us in time of need. And we can share this with our Lord. Secondly, I want you to notice, beloved brothers and sisters, in verse 2 now, if there will be a restoration and recovery from failure, not only that there must be a burden in prayer, but also there must be a true confession. I want you to notice this in verse 2, that there must be a true confession, because when we sin, when Israel have sinned, they've sinned against God. As we have read already in chapter 9 and verse 1 and 2, they have taken the wives of the nations around there, and they not only have not separated themselves, they have committed the abomination of the people of the land. So they needed to deal with it in confession. And so we read in verse 2, and I'm reading this, "Shechaniah, the son of Yechiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, 'Ezra, we have trespassed against our God and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet, Ezra, yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing.'" You see, all of a sudden, one of the men there of the people of Israel, his name is Shechaniah, the son of Yechiel. In Hebrew, Shechaniah ben Yechiel. I think it's so beautiful because every Hebrew name that God have given our people of all, the people of Israel, has a meaning. Shachanya ben Yechiel. Shachan means dwelled. Ya means Jehovah dwelled. Son of Yechiel means God is alive. He makes us alive. He's able to bring us to be alive again. He's able to restore us. So this man, he's the one that came and told to Ezra, and he says, you know, Ezra, we have sinned. Ezra, we have trespassed against, and notice, he doesn't say against them, we have trespassed against our God. You know that every time that we sin, we might hurt somebody else. Yes, of course. And maybe we hurt ourselves because we sin against ourselves. But really, beloved brothers and sisters, this trespass, first of all, was against God. Every time that we sin really against God Himself. First of all. And that's what he says here, this man by the name of Shechaniah ben Yechiel. He says, you know, we have trespassed against our God. We have sinned against our God. And if we sin willfully against our God, we need to confess this to Him. And so here, the next thing that is very important, there must be not only a burden in prayer, we need to pray, but there is also necessary to have a true confession. I want you to read with me Psalm 32 and verse 1. David has written this psalm. David of old, he sinned against the Lord, and David needed to repent. And David says in verse 1, he says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, because God forgave him, whose sin is covered. But if you notice a bit later on in Psalm 32, he says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old, and so on, all day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and so on. And then it says in verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. In other words, God had heard from David saying, I have sinned against you, God. Notice what it does say. Psalm 51 and verse 4, he said, against thee, thee only have I sinned, David said unto the Lord. So we realize that when we do wrong, and we do, beloved brothers and sisters, when we sin, we are actually, first of all, sin against the Lord. And then we, of course, hurt others along the way, and we hurt ourselves along the way. But confession is important for a believer in Yeshua the Messiah. And what did we read? Many times we read that verse in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, where the Apostle John said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. So, not only that we need to pray, but we need to tell God and confess before Him our sin, because He is always ready to restore us back to Himself. He does not condone us doing so, but He is always willing to restore us back to Himself. So number one, there must be a burden in prayer, verse 1. Number two, there must be a true confession, Ezra chapter 10 and verse 2. Now number three, and here is another thing that is important to realize, and that is found in verse 3. There is another need in order for us to enjoy restoration. There must be also submissiveness to God's word, to God's law, to God's commandment. And so we read in verse 3, now therefore, let us make a covenant with our God, to put away all the wives and such that are born of them according to the counsel of my Lord, and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law, God-giving word. You see, here's the third thing that is important. If they will receive revival and restoration, this man by the name of Shechaniah, the son of Yechiel, gave this encouragement to Ezra. Ezra, he's saying to him, there is a hope in Israel. Yesh tikva le Israel. But if we are going to receive this hope fulfilled in our lives, something has to be done. And he says we have to follow the principle that God had given us in Scripture. And therefore he said, let it be done according to the word of the law, according to the law that God had given us in Scripture. And you notice that he says here in the same verse 3, let us make a covenant with our God. This means to make a commitment to the Lord, to make a commitment that we are going to follow, to put away the wives such that are born of them. Now this must have been extremely difficult for these Jewish people and the people of Israel at that time. You know how difficult it is to put away the wives that they've already have been married to them for some years, and then those that had children out of them, to put them away? How do they do that? How they are going to do so? Well, let's remember, beloved brothers and sisters, that these wives of them did not adapt to themselves the God of Israel. The opposite happened here. What they have done, they drew them away from the true and living God. They drew them away from the Word of God. They didn't follow their husbands in following the God of Israel. Now, in biblical history, there were those who did so. For example, if you remember Rahab in Joshua chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10, Rahab says, we have heard about your God. And Rahab, who was a prostitute living in Jericho, have adopted the God of Israel. She did not draw Israel after her gods, but she was drawn towards the God of Israel. It is a completely different thing. There's another woman, if you remember, by the name of Ruth the Moabitish woman. She, in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17, said to Naomi, your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people. Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Where you die, there will I be buried also. It's a different story between what was going on in the time of Ezra here and what these women of old, like Rahab and Ruth HaMoaviah, have done. In fact, beloved brothers and sisters, if you remember, it was even in the time of Moses. Moses had married this Ethiopian woman. We read of him in Numbers chapter 12, where his sister and his brother were against him because he married this Ethiopian woman. We don't hear so much about her, but apparently Moses carried on the life of following the God of Israel, and she must have adopted what he believed in. It is a completely different story. Just yesterday and the week before, we have studied that which have happened in the time of the book of Numbers when Bilam was trying to curse the people of Israel. And you remember in Numbers chapter 25, the Moabitish women were presented before the people of Israel, and instead of Israel leading them to know the true and living God, they led Israel after Baal, and Israel committed the sin and abomination, and God had to judge the people of Israel. Let us distinguish here between Rahab and Ruth and the Ethiopian woman in the time of the people of Israel who embraced the God of Israel. And in contrast here, we see these women who led the people of Israel astray. And I don't have to tell you, in 1 Kings chapter 11, it says that Solomon loved many strange wives. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Did he lead his wives to follow the God of Israel? Not at all. In fact, the opposite had happened. What happened that Solomon ended up following after the idols that the wives that he had married have led him after? And so I would like you to see the contrast between Ezra 10 and all what we have read in other passages in the Tanakh. When it's come to Rahab, she adopted the God of Israel. When it's come to Ruth, she adopted the God of Israel. Even the Canaanitish woman in Matthew chapter 15 who came to Yeshua, she believed in the God of Israel, and therefore she could have been blessed. But here, beloved brothers and sisters, in verse 3, they had to obey the Lord, and they had to remove the women and their children because of the fact that they led the people of Israel astray, not following the God of Israel. So, number one, prayer must be sincere. Number two, there must be a confession of our sin that we have committed. And number three, there must be obedience to the counsel, to the word of the Lord, to the law that God had given his own people. Now, fourthly, one more point here that I want to mention in verse 4. If there will be a revival, if there will be a change and restoration, there also action must be taken. Not only to listen to what the leader said, what the word of God saying, but also to take an action and literally do it. And so we read in verse 4. This is what Shechaniah, the son of Yechiel, saying to Ezra. Ezra, he says to him in verse 4, arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. In other words, Ezra, take action. You are the leader among the people of Israel. Take an action. You and elders of the people of Israel, not only pray, not only be ready to confess, not only listen to the advice that is written in the Word of God, but also do it, act upon it. And this is extremely difficult. So imagine what it meant for the so many from among the people of Israel literally to put away their wives and some of them who had children already with them, to put them away. And amazing how difficult it must have been. But these individuals have led them away from the Lord, led them away from the Word of God. And so these are the four conditions that we see here in these verses. So what we find out, beloved brothers and sisters, that Ezra responded to the encouragement that were given to him from Shechaniah, the son of Yechiel. And in verses 5 and 6, Ezra is now responding. And look what we read. It says in verse 5, and now Ezra arose, and he made the chief priests and the Levites and all Israel to swear that they should do according to this word, and they swear. And Ezra rose up from before the house of God, and he went unto the chamber of Yochanan, the son of Eliashib, and when he came thither, he did eat no bread, nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. Ezra took action. He got up. He told the people in verse 5, the people of Israel, he says, listen, I want you to make an oath. I want you to make a promise that you are going to go along with it. We're going to have to deal with it and be restored to the Lord. And it says that they swear to him. They made an oath. In Hebrew we call Vayishavau. They made a promise. And in verse 6, you can see that he's going now, he's rising up from the temple area, and he's going to a man's house by the name of Yochanan, the son of Eliashib, and there on his own, he's going to a secret chamber, and there he himself, he didn't eat, he didn't drink, and he mourned because of the condition that existed that had to be dealt with among the people of Israel. That reminds me of the verse in the Gospel of Matthew, when Yeshua gave the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, when you pray, he says, go into your closet. And when you are there in your closet, pray into your Father which is in heaven, who will hear your voice. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites that pray loud and so on, that everybody will hear them. But go into your closet and take the time there to pray. And you can see Ezra practice this. As if he heard it from the Lord himself, he went to the chamber of the man by the name of Yochanan, the son of Eliashib, and he continued to mourn because of the condition that existed there. He didn't eat, he didn't drink, he fasted, and he mourned for a certain time because those things going to be done in the next verses. What does that tell us, brothers and sisters? And by the way, the name Yochanan, the son of Eliashib, are also speaking volume. The word Yochanan comes from the Hebrew word Jehovah, have mercy and grace. He is the son of Eliashib. Eliashib means God will restore. God will bring us back to himself. So he went to the house of one that his name represents Jehovah is gracious and he's able to restore us. And there he went on his knees and he didn't eat, he didn't drink. He fasted and he mourned because of the condition of the people of Israel. Shaul, Paul wrote this to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verses 9 and 10. He's talking about the importance of repentance. And he says, "Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but I rejoice for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing." I don't want you to be damaged, he's saying to them, but you had a godly sorrow. Verse 10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of." Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Here we see in Ezra a godly sorrow. We too, beloved brothers and sisters, also need to have godly sorrow. You know, sometimes we have our hearts so hardened. We have our conscience seared, and we are not tender in our conscience that we can carry on, do wrong, and not have any godly sorrow over the wrong that we are doing. Isn't it amazing? And we are believers. We go to meetings, we read our Bible, we are with other friends and so on. And yet how at times our hearts are so hard hearts. And that's why when Paul said, "Oh wretched man that I am," he's speaking about a believer when he is not in a spiritual state that is right before the Lord. We can be just like the others in the world, not different at all, because our human nature haven't been improved. It is the same sinful as the nature of an unbeliever.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.